All right, let's get this party started, people.
Welcome to the Blazing Defender Report.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Blazing Defender Report, episode 109, your two-time podcast award nominee. What's going on, everybody? I am Travis Jones. I am the Blazing Defender. I am your host on this journey through nerddom that we're about to take. I want to welcome everybody to the day after Super Bowl. This Monday is the most called in day of the year, apparently. I don't know if that's true or not. It might be, but if you did call in, good for fucking you. That's fantastic. I love it when people have the balls to do shit like that. I don't have. I really wanted to, but I did not. If you did, that's fantastic. Welcome. If you didn't and you're still at work, please catch me on the replay. Follow the Facebook page and always in the library on the YouTube channel. I have been bad about exporting the live stream over to YouTube, but I'm going to be better at that. I promise. Swear to God. I got a great show, guys. So we're going to be talking about the big game Black Widow trailer. Going to be talking about the Birds of Prey first reviews that are coming out. What's up, Neil, Brian, Jason? What's up going on, guys? Welcome to the chat. Thank you for joining me. And we're going to talk about my top five comics of the week, of last week, that came out this past Wednesday. So, and also, I'm going to have a new show coming out. We don't know what we're going to call it yet, but basically, it's going to be about nothing. And you're like, you already do a show that's about nothing, basically. Yeah, I'm going to have two shows that are basically about nothing, but I'm going to have other people on with me to talk about nothing. No, it's actually going to, I'm going to get into another sandbox, man. I'm going to bring on some people that I haven't ever did a podcast with before, and it's basically going to be a water cooler show, man. There's going to be no set topics. We're just going to shoot the shit. We're going to nerd out. Hope you guys join us. When you do a show like that, just to let you guys know how important you are, it is so important to have like fan interaction or listener interaction, I should call it, listener interaction, because you guys could chime in. You guys actually would probably dictate how the show goes or what we talk about by the questions you ask. So, but I'm going to have guys on from the Nerds from Work. I'm going to have guys on from Geek Versus. I'm going to have guys on from Botched, which a lot of those guys anyway. But you're going to get some very unfamiliar faces to join the show. So I'm really excited about it, man. I think it's really cool. We're just going to nerd out for an hour or so, have a couple beers, kick back. Hope you guys join us. But follow the Facebook page, the Instagram page, the Twitter feeds for when those shows will be coming out. I would kind of like to get one in this week. If I can get everybody's schedules to align, I think it'd be a lot of fun. But we're gonna get that done. First of all, we had a really, really bad accident last week where 9 people were killed in a helicopter crash. Kobe Bryant and his daughter obviously were in that crash. My heartfelt condolences to everybody that lost somebody important. I was never a Kobe Bryant fan, but just all the stories that have come out and everything this dude has done since he stopped playing basketball, I did not know about. And I think it's great that he's being remembered in a light that's a lot different than maybe people remember him playing basketball. Oh, one of the greats, one of the legends, no doubt. But I'm sure you heard a lot of stories like I did. He's, maybe kind of an asshole. I think a lot of those guys at that level are. But again, we lost a great man, a legend in the sport of basketball. And it's heartbreaking, to think about him and his daughter. I can't imagine. But I just wanted to say that. But that ain't this kind of show, man. That ain't this kind of show. We nerd here, man. We nerd, brah. And we proud. We proud to nerd out. And we getting ready to do that. But I want to talk about that Black Widow Super Bowl trailer. Now, you're like, well, they really didn't show us a lot. You're right. They didn't. But the scene where Taskmaster kicks the shield up and catches it on his arm, we've seen that before, guys. We've seen that before, right? Cap did that in Winter Soldier in the elevator after he beat the dog snot out of, Crossbones and the Hydra goons of the task force, strike force. So in saying that, okay, so this is where my head went immediately. All right, in the comic books, Taskmaster, he could actually watch videos. He could watch people do moves on TV, and his photo reflexes, I think is what they call them, his ability to mimic that ability, he could do that by watching TV. He didn't have to actually see the person doing that. And I'm like, okay, I'm sure Cap's done that before. I don't really remember him doing it before, other than the elevator. So where did he catch that move at? So it makes me wonder if he didn't get like a hold of some shield surveillance tape that was in the elevator. I mean, that's pretty interesting, right? Like, it looks so cool. And I know there's been a lot of rumors about this could be a girl. They could actually be, it could be a red herring, and Taskmaster is going to be a female, which would be a gender swap from the comic book. I'm cool with it, but he really looks like a dude, like bone structure and everything in that suit. He's not, and I've heard a rumor that it could be Rachel Weisz's character, which is going to be Natasha's mom, who has went through the Red Room 5 times. Why would you go through the Red Room 5 times? I thought graduation was when you basically were given a vasectomy or hysterectomy for a woman. I'm sorry, not a vasectomy. That would be weird. So why would you go through 5 times? I don't get it. Like, did she flunk out and have to get reinstated? Was she on academic probation? They kicked her. I don't know why she went through 5 times. I'm sure they'll explain that. Jason says they better not kill him off. He has to be in Deadpool 3. Oh, he has to be in. That would be pretty cool, right? We really don't know what his power set is, though. And a lot of people I know, there's been some bitching about the mask. They want the skull mask. I'm not going to say I don't, but this is what I foresee. I foresee something whereas we're getting an introduction to Taskmaster. He may not even be called that in this movie. I don't think they have said that name in the trailer. I could be wrong on that, but I don't even think they've said that in the trailer thus far. So my thinking is that by the end of this movie, we're going to get something along the lines of maybe the year one Taskmaster. Like, at the end of this movie, he's going to have to change his outfit, and he's going to have the hood, he's going to have the skull mask, and he's going to look more comic book accurate than he does right now. Maybe. I don't know, but maybe he will, maybe he won't. I don't know. I'm kind of okay with how he looks. I think the shield looks really, really cool. It does have the T on it, now that I think about it, so why would it have a T on if he wasn't Taskmaster? Jason says, I heard they made that decision because of the Chinese market. What decision? To not have the skull mask? Is that something, like something going on? And China's government's wild, man. Like, I don't even attempt to understand that shit. I mean, I just don't want none of the motherfuckers to cough on me right now. But all I'm saying is I don't get their, you know, like, we change. It's such a huge market for us in Hollywood. They will change shit for them, which is fucking weird. You know, like, I mean, it's all about money, right? But we do cater to that market quite a bit. I know in Future Fight, they had to make a different skin for Venom. Really? Because what, he's scary? I don't understand. Like, so did they change? How did Venom do over in China? I mean, I thought it did pretty, the Chinese market, I thought it did pretty well. And then they got a different one. Okay, yeah, they don't dig zombies over there? That's wild, because zombies are crazy popular here. That's interesting. Cool. Thanks for letting us know that, Jay. But yeah, I am pretty hyped about Black Widow. I really hope they stay in that Winter Soldier vein of espionage. And like, just give me a real good thriller with some superhero action mixed in. I think that's really, really cool. Pretty hyped about it. Now, I know you guys were probably just as excited as I was to see the Disney Plus commercial where we really got a good look at Falcon, Winter Soldier, WandaVision, which looks batshit fucking crazy to me. Like, I don't understand what's going on in that show. I was talking to a guy today in the gym, and he was like, well, I think they're taking it from the Vision miniseries that Tom King did. And I'm like, really? Because that was a story of Vision living with other androids. His family, his wife, his kids were still like synthetics like he was. So didn't have Wanda in it at all. So I don't know. I have no idea what it's about. I've heard it's going to be wildly different than anything Marvel's done. Obviously, we can really, really get a look at that by seeing the commercial. But I was excited just to see fucking Bucky cleaned up, haircut, looking a little more back, like he's getting back in the game. I'm so stoked about that. My hopes are so fucking high for that show. I know a lot of people aren't happy with the whole Mackie getting the shield. There's a story to tell there. And I do agree with the writers and the directors and the Russo brothers. Bucky's not ready for the shield yet. Bucky, the last thing we found out about Buck was he killed Tony Stark's fucking mom and dad. So not really the worthy guy to pick up the mantle of Cap yet. Okay. So I'm really hoping that there's a story there where maybe eventually one day he will, and we'll get Falcon as Falcon again. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, that's kind of the way it's played out in the comic books, right? So let's hope that that's what happens. I really hope it does, but I'm very, very fucking excited for that. Now I've got all these cool images and I'm not showing you guys any of them. Why do I even do this? It's fucking, you know, like, come on, man, get your shit together, dude. I really like that is like old scruffy Buck, and I do like that. I do like that look on him, but I really like that he's trimmed down, he's cut up, and he's groomed, and he really looks like he's ready for this path of redemption. I feel like it's going to be Mackie really, or Falcon really trying to be worthy of the mantle that's bestowed on him, and it's Buck just trying to atone for all the fucked up shit he's did over the decades. So really, really pumped about that series, man. I know you guys are too. I tell you what I'm very, very shocked about. So we're going to transition right into this. Birds of Prey and the whatever of Harley Quinn, okay? This dumbest fucking title ever. Just leave it at fucking Birds of Prey. We know Harley's in it. So I was not even going to go see this movie. I was not even going to go see it, okay? Because I don't give a shit. It's Suicide Squad was awful. Yeah, Margot Robbie is a fucking legitimate, bona fide smoke bomb. Like, she's amazing. Just every movie she's in, I want to watch it because I just love watching her on the screen. She's fantastic. She was the bright spot of a turd of Suicide Squad movie. She was the bright spot. We all know this. Yes, and I want to, Jason in the chat is like, I'm really excited about Loki and the whole time travel bureau. Yes, me too. Like, I'm very, very pumped for that. And there was actually a comic book that I wanted to let you guys know about. There is, it was in the Thor. It was the Walt Simons Thor run. I wish Casey was in the chat. He would know. It might be 353, Thor 353. So there is a group that basically police the time stream. Okay. Their name escapes me. All right. But as in Walt Simons run, he introduces this entity. Loki in that trailer has on the jumpsuit, like the prison jumpsuit, with their insignia on it. So it appears to me that Loki has been fucking through the time stream, the multiverse, with the cube and the Tesseract, and they caught him. Okay? And great line, best line in the whole commercial. I want to see this. I want to burn this whole place down. I cannot. Tom Hiddleston is, he's born to play this role, right? I mean, like, he is Loki. Chris Hemsworth is Thor. Hugh Jackman is Wolverine. Tom Hiddleston is for sure Loki. It looks so fucking good. Cannot wait. It looks fantastic. There's a lot of good shit coming up, man. Like, it's the best time in the world to be a nerd. I'm so fucking pumped. Okay, so Birds of Prey. Didn't care to see it. Wasn't going to go see it. Had no, I wasn't going to even pay the money to see it, be honest. Well, now the early reviews have come out. And like the purpose of all early reviews and screen tests, they're really glowing. Like, I think the trailers look like shit. I don't know what you guys think, but I think it looks awful. It looks hokey. It looks dumb. And my wife even called me out. She's like, why? Because it's a bunch of girls. I'm like, no, not because a bunch of girls. I like girls. And these are hot girls. So, yeah, that's not it. It just doesn't look good. Okay? But this is the reviews that get me. Okay? This is a hard R movie. Much, much in the vein of Deadpool. They embrace the R rating. They said the violence is so graphic. It's more attuned to a Saw movie than a superhero movie. Okay? I'm hooked. There's a lot of cussing, a lot of violence, a lot of gore. Yeah. Okay. Let's do that. Okay? Now you got my interest piqued. Then they said this. I'm a big Cassandra Cain fan. For those of you who don't know, she was Batgirl. She was taught by Lady Shiva, which is the deadliest hand-to-hand fighter in the DCU. She could go toe-to-toe with Batman if she so wanted to. She apparently is a scene stealer. Now, I don't know if they're going mute Cassandra Cain like she was in the comics. She could, now they give her a few words. She can like put two or three words in a sentence. But back when she first, you know, came on the scene, her first appearances, she not spoke at all. She was raised by an assassin hitman who was basically abusive, and she didn't speak. She can, she just doesn't want to. So I'm really curious on how they play this. But the girl that plays her, the actress that plays her, they say she's a scene stealer. Now, listen to that, guys. She's in a movie with fucking Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn, and she's a scene stealer. That makes it worth watching. That makes it worth going to go see right there. So I'm really, really, really curious to see how this movie plays out. I am going to go see this movie now. Me and Big Sam, which I didn't think would go see this movie at all. He's all for it. So cool. Be looking for a meatheads on Birds of Prey for sure. Very, 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 very soon. Something I thought was real interesting that I also read is James Gunn has said that he's going to be tying up loose ends from episode one. Guardians of the Galaxy 1 is what I'm referring to. So what could that be about? All right. And I've heard these rumors too. So I think this goes hand in hand is the reason I bring this up. I'm a huge Rocket Raccoon fan. Like, I've always loved him in the comics. He was my favorite Guardian by far. And I've absolutely loved what Bradley Cooper has done with him and the voicing of Rocket. Rocket, Groot, and Thor in Infinity War was like one of my favorite fucking things in any movie ever. I would see 1,000 movies with just those three in it, just traveling the universe and getting in trouble and fucking Groot talking shit to Thor and vice versa, and you know, him calling him a rabbit and all that shit. I love it. So Jason says, so what's not to love? A foul-mouthed alcoholic genius. Absolutely. Correct. Nothing not to love there. So that likes big, big, big guns. So I hate to say this, but I feel like this is where it's going to go. We are going to get an origin of Rocket in this movie, and I also believe we'll get the death of Rocket in this movie. I don't want it to happen, but I do think it will happen. And when Rocket is going on about how he didn't ask to be made, I feel like that's one of the plot lines and plot hole, not plot hole, but kind of thread that, you know, he kind of tugged on was Rocket's origin in the Guardians 1. And I think he's going to revisit that. And I have heard rumor that it might be Rocket's last go as Guardian. I really don't want that. But I think, you know, of course, Rocket's going to go out heroically a la Yondu. So, yeah, it's going to suck, guys. But I think it's going to be a fantastic story. And James Gunn does nothing but great movies. So it's something that you don't want to see, but you're going to go see it, right? You mean, so make sure you go see that. And we're going to get more. It's still a year away, so we got plenty of time for rumors and speculation on that front. The movie that maybe I'm more excited about than a lot of these movies is New Mutants. I've been pumped for New Mutants when I first seen the trailer 2 years ago, and I thought we were going to get the movie, and we didn't. And then you hear a lot of rumors. You hear rumors about reshoots and directors jumping off and the movie's not good. It didn't test well and blah, blah, blah. And I said this way back months and months ago. New Mutants was a victim of the Marvel Sony merger. So when we got those characters back, when Mutants came back, they didn't know what to do with the New Mutants movie. So I think that was more of a thing than it ever was. It wasn't about the movie wasn't going to be good, because if you remember the very first trailer, I got pretty positive response. And yes, guys are saying it in the chat right now, horror movie. Yes, give me something different. Break this I don't want to say cookie cutter genre story mold, because look what Winter Soldier did. Look what Guardians did. Look what Logan did. Like, it took the superhero genre and turned it on its head. Joker, for that matter. So New Mutants is going another route, the horror route. Yes, yes, fuck yeah. Give me that shit. Give me that. And yes, Magic looks amazing. I think all of them look fantastic. And it is from a New Mutants special, Giant Size New Mutants number one, where they fight like it's basically a demonic bear. I don't want to get into it because I don't want to spoil the movie. I don't know how close they're even going to go with it. But it looks fantastic. I'm so pumped. But this is the tidbit I wanted to give you guys. You may have seen it. The director basically was dispelling these rumors of massive reshoots. He said the movie that you're going to get in the theaters is his vision. There were no massive reshoots of this movie. And I believe that because massive reshoots cost massive money. They weren't going to do that for New Mutants. I had heard talk they were going to release it on Hulu. I heard I had all you know, straight to DVD release, all that other shit. This movie is been screened and it's polling well enough with audiences that they're going to fucking release it. And he's going to get the version that he wants to show. That makes me even more pumped to see this movie. Cannot fucking wait. Still wish we got a Fox Aramis or Sinister after they tease his presence. Yeah. Man, they can't wait much longer to introduce Sinister, can they? We don't know what Feige and him are going to do with the mutants, getting mutants back, the X-Men. You know, we're going to get some recast, but the world's their oyster. I think maybe we get away from Apocalypse because, you know, we want to get that Oscar Isaac fucking, you know, shit taste out of our mouth still. But, you know, Sinister's somebody that they've kind of teased about, the Essex Corporation, I think is what you're referring to, Neil. And yeah, let's get that shit. You know, let's get a fucking mutant that's crazy flamboyant like Sinister is. Like, if you haven't been reading Hickman's X-Men, and we're going to get to that today because it is in my top five. Sinister, man, he steals the show. He really does. And he's so like a crazy genius. Like, he's so fucking out there. You know, he's almost Jokerish the way he acts. Like, you really don't know what's going on. And I think he likes mayhem for mayhem's purpose. You know what I mean? So it's really cool. I think it's a good call. I'd really like to see Sinister in the MCU. And so LMC for Life says, oh, I've heard WandaVision is supposed to be based on a 50s sitcom, and she's actually stuck in a pocket dimension. As a result, or cause of the Doctor Strange 2 movie coming soon. Okay. All right. So about that. So this is what's happening now since the director has jumped off of Doctor Strange. Okay. I don't know if y'all knew this. I thought I'd hit this in an earlier show, but maybe not. His name escapes me, but it doesn't matter now because he's gone. So the director for Doctor Strange is gone now. So they don't even have a director yet. I have heard nothing of who's coming in to finish this movie. They're not done shooting yet, so there's still stuff to be shot. So what's going to happen is WandaVision is actually going to come out before Doctor Strange Madness of the Multiverse. So I think that is the way they wanted to do it. Doctor Strange, WandaVision. Makes sense, right? Apparently not. That's not going to happen that way. Unless they say they're going to postpone WandaVision. Which I haven't heard of that yet either. So there's still a lot up in the air. Maybe they're thinking there's enough principal photography shot that they can get Doctor Strange 2 done. But the last I heard, and guys, you could bring it up. I'm kind of speaking a couple weeks back and when all this happened. Doctor Strange has been postponed. And I think there's no other outlet but to postpone it right now. So I'm very curious on what they do with that. But I think it's going to be really, really interesting, especially as wild as this WandaVision looks. You know, like, we're probably going to need some subtext on what the fuck is she's stuck in a 90s or a 50s sitcom. How'd that happen? How did Vision come back? You know, so there's a lot to do there. Marvel will figure it out. They'll figure it out. This is nothing new for directors to jump ship on Marvel. Nothing new at all. Most studios, it would probably crumble the project. Marvel will figure it out. They'll get somebody on board. Yeah, and it does suck. Yes. Yeah, Brian, it does really suck. So Neil said, yeah, Essex Corp. That's who I thought they were setting up for Logan. Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be really cool. And obviously it looks like Sinister was the mastermind behind these experiments on these younger mutants that Logan helped escape into Canada or wherever they were. So yeah, maybe. She snapped it. She snapped, I bet. No brother, no Vision. Yeah, you know, there was talk that this was WandaVision was going to be kind of loosely related to House of M. For you guys that know the comic books, you know what House of M was. It was basically Wanda had a psychotic break and she said no more mutants, and there were no more mutants. Like, this whole House of M was her father, which is Magneto in the comics, basically was ruling the world, and there were no mutants anywhere. Like, there were only a few. And she basically wiped them all out because she blamed them for her kid's death, which her kids weren't real to begin with. It's really weird. It's really weird. Wanda Maximoff is super, super fucking duper strong in the comic world. And with what Kevin Feige has recently said, that is, he's also agreeing with that as well. He's also saying that Wanda is one of the most, one of the most powerful people in the MCU. Sorry, I was changing my graphic over here. So yeah, it's. I'm really curious to see what they do. Jason says Avengers disassembled. Yeah, that was like, what happened to the fucking Avengers? I thought they were going to go more cosmic in their movies. Which they still might do. We'll see. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. Hey, I'm pumped, man. I know you guys are too. Like, there's so much good shit coming down the pipe. It's like, oh my God. Like, I can't wait. Where is it at? All right, guys. So, top five. It's comic book time, motherfuckers. Top five. All right. So, this is the way I'm going to do it from now on. So, you know, I can get five books in, talk about them, and still not, still have some time left. So, all right. So my top five pick. Now, when I give you this, some of y'all may go, you really don't talk about that book a lot. You're right, I don't. And I don't talk about it as much as I should, but it's a fantastic book. And this issue really, like, really hit home with me as far as, man, this book is really fantastic. All right, it is The Weatherman. And why is that thing so, oh my God, so crooked, it's killing me. Hold on. Gotta fix it. Sorry. Just hang in there. Have a drink on me. I'm buying. That's a little better. Not much better. Okay. The Weatherman, number six. Okay. This is actually the end of the first story arc. Okay. Basically, what has happened is there is a virus that was brought on by a group of terrorists that basically wiped out Earth. So a lot of people don't live on Earth now. All right. Now, there are people on Earth, but they're all kind of infected with this virus. So they're not like zombies or anything, but they are kind of mutated and like regular people don't want to be around them. So the man that led, it was, I think they're called the Children of the Spear, or God, the Spear of God. I think that's the name of the terrorist group. His name's Ian Black. He basically, no one can find him. Like he took full responsibility for this murder of all these people, a 6 billion people. And like no one can find him. Well, there's this goofy, and his name escapes me. This issue is super, super duper late. Like the series has ran kind of late, but it's been fantastic. It was one of my favorite books of 2019. If that tells you anything. It's really, really good. It's well done. There's bounty hunters and government agents, and there's espionage and violence, really, really, really crazy violence. And this weatherman is this goofy, think of your goofy weatherman that you have in your area on your local TV. That's this guy. But people love him because he is so goofy and he does these antics. And he think of Jim Carrey. Like if I cast this movie, it would be Jim Carrey. The weatherman would be played by Jim Carrey. Well, there's an agent that ends up finding out that this Spear of God had basically, like this Ian Black had recreated himself. And he has become another person with some plastic surgery. He's wiped his memory, all this shit, so no one could find him. Well, I can't give things away, but there are twists and turns throughout. But this issue that wraps up the first arc is mind-blowing. Like, at the very last page, you're like, motherfucker! Like, I had to go back and reread the entire series. From one through back to six. It's that good, guys. Like in this issue here, man, I love comics that, you know, you're bobbing, you're weaving, you're wiping. Oh, shit. Like, fucking, you catch one right in the fucking grizzle. I mean, Weatherman really, really does it. Fantastic art, violence, comedy, in a really, really, really good story that's been perfectly fucking crafted as of yet. So really, really good, man. You guys gotta check it out. Please check it out. I think you'll really, really dig it. Now that the first arc is done, be looking for a trade to come out. Definitely, definitely, man, grab that trade, guys. Okay, I talked about Hickman's X-Men earlier. His house, if you weren't reading the House of X, Powers of X stuff, you really missed out, guys. Like, I highly, highly recommend you go back and read that shit, because it's some of the best stuff as far as X-Men titles ever, in my opinion. I mean, it rekindled... and Big Sam, which you guys know from the Meathead Show, he's a huge X-Men fan, huge comic book guy. And he even said this rekindled my love for the X-Men. Samesies. Like, I was going back reading old Claremont X-Men, reading Grant Morrison's X-Men. I'm reading all these X-Men shit just because Hickman is weaving this story and he's taking shit from years ago and just making this new X-Men story that is fucking mind-blowing. So this is the main title, the X-Men. This is issue 5. Hickman and Lentil Yu. Lentil Yu, man, I'm not a big fan of his art, but he has gotten so much better. He's not so abstract and wild. His characters still, like, they're more refined, and he harnesses that power in every character. As you could tell by this cover, I mean, Armor, Storm, I mean, they look badass and ready to rock and roll. So, now, this is the thing about Hickman's stories. They're very, very intricate, okay? Now, do I recommend a comic book like this for somebody just jumping in? Absolutely not. Definitely read the House and Power series and then jump into this main title. But this is what is the X-Men to me are becoming the bad guys. And when we get into X-Force, which X-Force is in my top 5 as well. X-Force is actually my favorite X-Men title other than this. And I'll tell you for reasons when we get to that book, but the X-Men are all about Krakoa, their new environment, their new sovereign state for mutants. They are becoming a power like overnight, making people very, very, very nervous. Xavier and his board of advisors feel like they're doing this because their back's against the wall. They have to do this or mutants are going to be extinct in several years. I'm just thinking that they're becoming the bad guys. They're becoming who they have fought for all these years. Now, when you say this, Apocalypse, Gorgon, the Hellfire Club, Emma Frost, all these people are on this board. So you've got a lot of bad people. Mystique, they're on this board of the Quiet Council, I believe they call it. So this here, they're tracking down some mutants that have been manufactured via temporal distortion. Now, I'm not going to get into it because you would just have to read the comic, but it is a newer concept that is extremely cool. Hickman's killing it. He's killing it. He's killing it on this fucking book, man. Jason says, I don't know. Xavier admitted a long time ago that he wanted to bone Jean, so he's always been pretty skeezy. Yes, in the last 10 years, Professor Xavier has died. He's come back. He's died again. He's been somewhere else in the Shadow Realm. And he used to be like the guy that had, he was the Martin Luther King of the Marvel Universe. And over the last 10 years, they have vilified this guy like he is a villain. And now he is such a villain. Like, he's Dr. Doom of the mutant realm. Like, he has surpassed Magneto, in my opinion, as just being sneaky and conniving. And now he can resurrect mutants. And it's a whole thing, man. But it's so good, guys. If you invest the time in reading these books, you're going to fucking love it. I promise you. If you're watching this show and you read comic books and you like comic books, House of X, Powers of X, or Powers of 10, however you want to say it, it is fucking phenomenal. These books are great companion pieces that are continuing the story. So this is a fantastic book. I'm really curious on these mutants that they have evolved in the vault. It's basically where some other mutants have come from. The Weapon X program evolved to the world where they were creating people. It's a whole thing. Like I said, I don't want to get into the weeds, but this is a fantastic book. It's definitely, I believe it was my fourth book. Yes, my fourth book. And it very well could have been my first book. That's how much I enjoy these X-Men books. They're fantastic. And we're going to get to X-Force here in a minute. But number 3 is one that you guys will not really be shocked about, but it did come out this week. It is high fantasy and action and gore and horror all wrapped into a fucking comic book. It's the best I've seen any of these done since I've been reading comic books. The Last God by friend of the show, Philip Kennedy Johnson. And he is a great dude. And that's not why he is on this list. He is on this list because this book kicks fucking ass. Gabriel Federici, that is doing the art on this book, is Assad Rabiq worthy. Like, he's just a fucking, he's that close to being Assad Rabiq, and in a different way. The Last God is so in depth. If you like Game of Thrones, you like Tolkien, you like Lord of the Rings, you like D&D. Speaking of D&D, The Last God is becoming a Dungeons & Dragons campaign. They are getting a volume, a game, I guess. I don't know. I've never played D&D. But they are getting a D&D type role-playing game based on The Last God. So this is, like I said, high fantasy at its best, guys. Great characters, fantastic art. We're getting more and more of the story. It's basically about a dead god. A god they thought was dead is back. It is destroying people. It's killing people. It is making them into these, like, flowered zombies. I know it sounds crazy. It is crazy. Like, the character, the creature creations that they're coming up with in this book are something that you've never seen before. It is that, and that's what makes it, like, oh my God, what is that thing? And now there's this thing, he's called a Sermon, I think. And it's like, he's like a direwolf mixed with a polar bear, but it's like this guy's, it's like his pet, his guardian. And it's like, ooh, what is this? Oh my goodness. Like, Philip Kennedy's killing it, man. He's one of the hottest guys in the business right now. He's got a miniseries coming out very soon with, I can't say who it is, but it's going to be big. It's going to be huge. And if you watched my interview with him, which you can go to YouTube and you can go to Twitch library and watch the interview I have with him, you can figure out who it is. But I'm not saying, because he asked me not to, and I don't want to get him in trouble. But be looking for more Philip Kennedy Johnson. If you didn't know this, the Marvel Zombie Resurrection, they're getting like a cover tribute, like his Marvel Zombie Resurrection number one, which was a fucking amazing. It was my pick of the week that week. It was so good. It's so well done. And he actually talks about his idea for that story on my show as well, which was fantastic. I mean, and the art and everything. If you like zombies, and dude, just check it fucking out. Philip Kennedy's killing it. Go back and read all of his shit. Last Sons, Warlords of the Appalachia. You're going to love all of it, man. I'm a huge fan of his work. Last God is something way out from what he's usually done, and he's just killing it. So kudos to DC for letting the man do what he was meant to do. And that's right, fucking comic books. Check out The Last God. Last God's an epic adventure you're not going to want to miss, guys. All right, number two. Number two is, I've already mentioned it once, it is my favorite of the X-Men titles as of right now, and it is X-Force. And X-Force is the Black Ops, SEAL Team 6, Dev Gru team of the mutants, of Xavier and this new budding society, this new superpower that they're creating on Krakoa. And the Beast is the mastermind behind this. He's in, you've never seen Beast this arrogant, this savvy, this conniving, this plotting. You've never seen a Beast like this. He's almost way more evil Beast from the Age of Apocalypse storyline than he is the Beast that we remember. And his arrogance at the end of this issue will come back down the road in this series and bite him and X-Force in the ass. I'm not going to give you any more than that on the ending, but basically they are eliminating a threat from another country that could potentially produce Omega Sentinels from a floral-based technology. Yeah, it's like nanotechnology, but it's floral-based. It's organic-based. And you've got some terrorists that are infected with, or are they infected with this nanovirus? And basically, they send in X-Force to kill them all. Kill them all. Leave no witnesses. And Jean Grey is a part of this team. And Beast asks her to do something that you would think would be totally against what Jean Grey believes in. But all of these mutants that are a part of Krakoa's Quiet Council and this X-Force hit squad, they're all in. And every issue of X-Force, we see how much further they're willing to go to make sure mutants come out on top of this, what they perceive as a war for survival. And it's kind of like, wow, what would you do? They're basically, this is the beginnings of the CIA for the mutants. It's very, very fucking good. It was almost my pick of the week. My pick of the week is just... You'll see when I tell you what it is, but X-Force could very well have been my pick of the week this week, guys. Get on top of this book now. It's issue 5, X-Men main series. If you're going to buy 2 of the mutant books, for me, I've read them all. For me, it's X-Men the main title and then this X-Force book. So good. So good. Wolverine at his best. You're getting Domino. You're getting, you know, Jean Grey like you've never seen Jean Grey this badass. I'm not talking Phoenix. I'm talking old school Jean Grey. Like, oh, damn, dude. You do not want to fuck with that chick. Like, so good. And Beast, man, I am digging Beast. But this is how I feel when I read the X-Men books. I can't wait till they get put on their ass. They've already had run-ins with the Avengers and the Fantastic Four. So... And, like, they got this whole sovereignty thing going on because they got this deal with the government on these drugs that they're giving them, blah, blah, blah. Read House of X and Powers of X. You guys won't be sorry. Again, this is a title that is continuing Hickman's story. X-Force, fantastic. You're going to love it, guys. I promise. All right. Now, my pick of the week. Now, you know, X-Force very well could have been my pick of the week, guys. You know this. But it's not. What is my pick of the week is, yes, and Neil Brandon makes a great point. I definitely want to bring that up. Can't wait for the new Wolverine solo series. Yes, and in the X-Men book, when they send X-23 on this mission, in the X-Men book now, when they're hunting these mutants that have been advanced because of a temporal shear, basically, in the vault, she says, they should send you. And he says, I would go, but I've got something that can't wait. That is alluding to his solo series. I have no idea what his solo series is about, but I'm definitely going to be checking it out. Wolverine's one of my all-time favorites. I grew up, I mean, that's who my dad used to read to me before I could read. Like, I wanted to smoke cigars and stab people with knifey hands. When I was a kid, you know, probably not the best role model to have as kids. Probably why I'm fucked up right now. But I'm super pumped for the Wolverine solo series because he is going to be doing something again, furthering that story that Hickman has unveiled to us. So Jason said, you think you would have learned after he nearly destroyed the talent by bringing the original X-Men back a few years ago? Yeah, I actually seen a really good article that someone wrote about all the fuck-ups that Beast has had to be this super genius that he is. Like, he's really blundered a bunch of shit in the last decade, and that being one of them. Like, for whatever reason, he thought that was a great idea to bring the original X-Men into this timeline. Total clusterfuck. And it didn't make for any good stories either. So there's that as well. But hey, in Hickman we trust. Hickman has brought us back to where we need to be. So now, this next book, guys, if you'd have told me that somebody could have wrote Thor better than Jason Aaron, I would have probably smacked you pretty hard because you need to be smacked. Like, I don't want to smack you. I could really like you. But I'm probably going to smack you pretty hard just because it's stupid. It's lunacy. Why would you say that out loud to where, like, people can hear you? You know, people think something's wrong with you. You say that. Well, they end up giving it to a guy named Donnie Cates, who has been on fucking fire. And after two issues of Thor by Donnie Cates, this is amazing. It's fucking fun. It is badass as Jason's was, or Jason's is. His Thor will always be my favorite. But Cates has really, really, really outdone himself in these first two issues. So, brief synopsis. The Star Plague is coming. What is the Star Plague? Yeah, good question. We don't know. All we know is it's a world killer. It is a fucking world killer. Nick Klein, who's doing the art, is absolutely gorgeous. I'm not familiar with Nick Klein's work until this series. It's fucking beautiful. Can I say, so you'll hit me and call me names in a deep growly voice? Yes, 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 Dennis. Dennis, you don't have to say it. I'll just hit you and just say gravelly shit to you. But yeah, so Nick Klein's art is just utterly fantastic. Galactus is dying. The Surfer, the Silver Surfer, has been secretly keeping five planets from Galactus. If Galactus were to consume these five planets, he would become the strongest he's ever became. Galactus, guys. We're talking about fucking Galactus. Okay? So, Galactus, you know, getting any stronger is just, it's crazy talk, right? Why would you talk crazy talk like that? Well, he's the only thing that can stop the Star Plague. So he comes to fuck shit up. And Thor, being Thor, is like, no, you're not. You're not doing this. These planets are inhabitable, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, Thor ends up getting imbued with the power cosmic. Now, just to let you guys know that if you haven't been keeping up, Thor is the king of Asgard now, okay? That all happened in the big miniseries that they just had not too long ago. He is the Odinson. He has every bit of Odin's power. Now you've imbued this motherfucker with the power cosmic. Yeah, he's crazy powerful now. So the deal is, he's going to take Galactus to these planets. He's going to make sure all the inhabited worlds, these people are taken off world while Galactus feeds. Then he's going to, with his ability, his power of being the Odin son or Odin now, he's going to bring back their planet to them. And then relocate them back. Okay, that's this Thor's plan. So Galactus show up to this first planet. I think it's called Cirrus or Cyrus, and he's ready to eat it. And Thor's like, "Nope, we're getting these people off first." So him and Galactus talk shit to one another. Like, "Hey, you work for me, bitch." Thor's like, "Nay. I work for Asgard." He throws his hammer. This is the image I'm showing you. He throws his hammer at Galactus and just basically blows two fingers off of his hand. Okay? Galactus hits him with his eye beams. Thor takes it like a boss, gets his hammer back, throws it again, and blows out, like, gives him a fucking, like, right below the knee, like, blows his fucking leg off. I mean, they're talking shit to each other. Thor is kicking Galactus's ass. It's awesome. Okay? And while they're doing that, the people of this world just see these two godlike beings fighting, and they start fighting them. Thor's like, "God damn it, I'm trying to help you all." While he's doing that, like, while he's trying not to hurt these people, Galactus gets his machines down and starts to feed on a planet. Thor calls Sif, who is the guardian of the Bifrost now, and has all these people, the whole inhabitants of this planet, taken off world to Asgard. Okay? So, and you can imagine the problems that causes. All right? It's a pretty funny scene, actually, with Volstagg and Baldur trying to get these, acclimate the people of this world into Asgard. Okay? So while Galactus is feeding, Thor tries to tell him to stop. Like, you're doing too much. You're going to destroy the planet. Galactus destroys the planet. He's so hungry because he's dying. He takes all of this, the energy of this very, very special world, and now he's healed whole. Because he was missing an arm when he showed up, too. So, like, his arm was gone. And then Thor fucked him up in this panel here. But now he's made whole, and he's ready to go get another world because the Star Plague is coming. So we get a very, very special guest at the end of this. And it's going to be a brawl the next issue, guys. Beta Ray Bill is back. And if you read Beta Ray Bill God Killer, where he went to hunt Galactus down, that is a great story as well. I'm really like Cates, man. Cates is very, very good about weaving stories from past, you know, very influential comic book stories. So I can't wait. Like, this has been such a, like, I was kind of like not wanting to like it. I'm not going to say that because I want to like everything, but it's so good. So also, let me show you. I need to show you this real quick, guys. So in this issue, we know that the DC universe is around, right? I mean, we kind of know that because Marvel has played with DC before with like little crossovers, but we've never gotten it like this before. So in the opening of this comic, they're talking about like other worlds that have suffered from the Star Plague, okay? And how their heroes of that world were no match and were basically killed. All right, so I want to show you this. All right, I just hastily put that up there. Okay, all right, look at this first panel, guys. This is a Thor book, okay? They never mention these characters by name, but that right there is the Metropolis, the planet, okay? The news agency that Lois and Clark work for. That there's Superman. That there's Flash. That there be the Green Lantern. Okay? They make reference to the God of Water, the God of Darkness, if you want to call him that. I think they even say, which is Batman, which is Batman's right here to the right, if you can see that. And how these Titans of this world was no match for the Star Plague. Okay? So we actually get a reference to the Justice League in the very opening pages of this book. Cates is smart like that, man. Like, he's smart like that. Like, say what you want to about him. I know he called me a dick. It's cool. I've been called a dick by worse. But Cates, man, you're doing it. You got big shoes to fill, dog. I told you that, and you're doing it. So Thor, man, Thor is just fucking fun. It's fun. This is reading almost like a Greek tragedy. I keep waiting for the bad shit to really happen. Like, it ain't even happened yet. But dude, we're getting violence. We're getting just cool dialogue between just iconic heroes and villains. Please, if you, any book that I've, if I sold you on any book today, let it be Thor. And you can jump right into Thor 1, get it now. I think it's already went to a fifth print. So if you can get a first print, kudos for you. But man, issue 1 is fucking awesome. Issue 2 was even better. And it's just like the Venom series and the Thanos series before, they just got better and better and better and better. Tell you, it's the favorite thing you look for at the comic shop that week. So I give it a 9. I give this issue a 9. I gave the first one a 9. So off and running, man. Donny Cates and Thor is off and fucking running. Running hard, too, guys. But yeah, man, that's it. That's all I got. If you haven't hit that like or subscribe button, please do. Please do that, too, on the YouTube channel. If you do listen on Anchor or iTunes, please rate and review it, man. That really, really helps me a lot. Going for sponsorships or whatever, you know, they look at that shit. How many viewers do you have? What's your review? You have a 5-star rating on iTunes, Anchor, blah, blah, blah. And always hit that bell on this podcast, on this stream. And that way you're notified every time I go live. And guys, you're not going to miss the new show that I'm doing. It's going to be cool. I think you're really going to like the people that I have on. I think we all have a really good rapport with each other. And there'll be some craziness, no doubt, some craziness. And definitely, you guys get to be the other host. I hope you realize that, guys. You're always the other host on my show. Don't forget, if you have a free sub, if you have Amazon Prime, absolutely. If you have an Amazon Prime subscription, you get a free Twitch subscription. And if you would use that on me, that would just be fucking lovely. That would be so awesome. If I get enough subscribers, I want to start doing some subscription-only content. Which I had the idea for this show that I'm going to do, but what I may do is just have some, I don't want to say bigger guests, but maybe some more popular guests to do the subscription only show. But I'm always going to do this show, guys. I'm always going to do this, whether, you know, I have a million subscribers or I have six, it doesn't matter. I'm always going to do this show. I love doing this show for you guys. I love chatting with you all. I love it when you're in the chat. I love it when you send me your questions. If you have questions, please send them to me. I will answer them on the air. If you have something specific you want me to talk about, so let me know. I would love to do that as well. But be looking for stuff, man. Be looking for some more stuff. I'm going to be streaming a little bit more. I'm going to be maybe streaming some Call of Duty here soon. I've been playing with some guys on weeknights. We all get together and play, and we've been having a lot of fucking fun. And I think you guys would dig it. It's some fun shit, and they say some funny shit, and I say some funny shit. So it's just funny shit. You dig it. But please follow the Facebook page. That is the best place to get where I post. I post more often there than anywhere. So be looking at the Facebook page for new shows, new show times. And we got a lot of stuff coming, guys. And I want you to be a part of it. So just really, really quick, I want to say, especially after the events of last week, the world's super crazy right now, man. Politically, we're more divided than ever. Socially, I feel like we're more divided than ever. We all bleed red, all of us. And we need not forget that. And we live in the greatest country in the world where we're able to voice our opinions. So try not to be so close-minded. It may not be your opinion, but you have to respect the people that have a different opinion than you, or you're no better than the person you're probably talking shit about. Learning that, I try to tell myself that every day, that just because somebody doesn't think like you doesn't mean they're wrong. It just means they don't fucking think like you, and thank God for that, right? So, and yes, Dennis, you actually do bleed 5W20. That is not synthetic, that has probably been in somebody's engine for 12 years with never changing the oil. That's what you bleed, because your soul is black. And Dennis is going to be a part of that new show, just to let you know. But there's going to be some different people in the sandbox, man, playing around. So it's going to be really, really interesting how this goes. Sometimes I don't play well with others. So we're going to see. But I'm very, very excited. I hope you guys are too. But for that, guys, the Blazing Defender's out of here. Hope you enjoyed the show. I'll see you next week, guys, because guess what? New comics come out Wednesday, and I'll be there. I'll see you, brothers. Peace.